CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, CliffCentral.com, and lots of good stuff that we've still got to get our teeth into in the next hour of the show. We do not have Collectomania this morning. Unfortunately, the person we were going to speak to in our Collectomania feature, which has now become a regular part and a very cool part of my Mondays and hopefully yours, he had to cancel at the last minute. Like, we're talking 11 o'clock last night, so we've decided we're going to postpone that. And we will get to it ASAP. So sorry about that. If you were looking forward to Collectomania, we will make up for it, I swear. It's coming. It's on the way. It's just something that we couldn't do anything about. You can't really put the whole thing together at 11:30 at night, no matter how good your intentions are. So that'll come up at some point in the very near future, and we'll pick it up exactly where we left it off. And by the way, if you are a collector and you're someone who collects interesting things, we've had so many interesting people on so far, collecting everything from hats to Princess Diana dolls to coins to swords to guns to whiskies to whatever you could possibly imagine. And if you've got some interesting collection you want to share with us, then do it. Let us know. Gareth@cliffcentral.com. All right. So many things to get to and so many things to still talk about. You, of course, can get hold of us on our WhatsApp line, 0797482090, which pitches up right on the screen in front of me. You can also comment directly on YouTube, as many people do every morning when we're doing the show live. Also, if you listen on the podcast, you can email me after the fact and we can get back to yours. So lots of people are talking about, you know, the stuff that we were just discussing with Mark Sham and with Dr. Hanan Bushkin, about how men express themselves and all of that stuff. And we ended it with Mbulelo on his take and kind of the personality that he has. Well, there are people who don't mind sharing every detail of their lives. And we're not talking just about, you know, the people who are prepared to show their asses on Instagram every single day. I mean, those people
and
are
they shouldn't stop, by the way. No, let's be very clear.
No.
Those people shouldn't stop, yeah.
There is a whole world for people like that, which I'm only too happy that we grant them the space to keep on sharing whatever it is that they want to share, even if it is just their asses. Good for them. I say there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I mean, Leanne, of course, is launching her OnlyFans next week, which is going to be very exciting. It's going to be her OnlyFans will be a bit different, though. It'll be all about her different scarves and her different slippers and her different outfits for lockdown.
Yes, and my newly crocheted blanket from my aunt.
Yeah.
And the embroidery course that I'm considering taking up.
Yeah.
Because this is of course what women my age who are single do. We have cats and we embroider.
Yeah, that sounds just so sexy. I can't wait to subscribe. I did something interesting last week, which I didn't talk about until now, because it was one of many things that were going on. But I had to, you know, I've got these trees in my garden that I needed to trim down, and winter's obviously the right time to do that. But I hired the professionals, because there's no way I'm getting up on a huge big tree and then trying to chainsaw and breaking walls and dropping the branches on roofs and causing all kinds of huge damage and chaos, because that's what I would have
dropping
done.
Dropping the chainsaw into your crotch.
Exactly. I mean, listen, I watched this dude. So the reason I'm even sharing this is because it's a fascinating thing, right? People think that, you know, doctors and billionaires like Branson, and these are the people to watch doing their job. I was watching this guy who climbs up onto the thinnest branches, like a branch that's about as thick as my arm, maybe even thinner than that. And his whole weight is on that thing with the chainsaw. And he stands there and he cuts all the little branches off first. And then he takes like a piece off of the main trunk all the way down to the one that he's on. And he's chained himself to it. He's actually got a chain around his waist that he then, you know, puts around the trunk of the tree a couple of times. And he literally cuts everywhere up to his belly button. Above that, it's gone. And he's standing up there in the middle of, you know, the stratosphere where Branson went to. And he's cut down all these branches. These people are so good at what they do. It's the kind of thing that you think, well, that's just, you know, that's labor. But my God, that is complicated stuff. And if you can do that, you're always going to have a job. It cost me $5,000 to do all this tree felling, which is quite expensive. But I thought about the risk. I mean, these guys are not getting like health and safety. You know, there's no workman's compensation being paid there. The guy who runs the business is a Zimbabwean dude who's just resourceful. He's got a truck, he's got a couple of chainsaws, and he's got some people that he's hired to work with him. And, you know, he runs a very slick operation. I mean, they left here. There was no mess. They've trimmed all the trees down. It's not hanging over the neighbor's wall anymore, making me nervous that I'm going to get into trouble with my neighbors. And frankly, it looks a whole lot better too. So kudos to people who are going out there and doing that kind of hard work every day, because they are professionals, whether or not they have a degree. They are professional people who get an incredible job done.
Yeah, and I've got a pile of garden refuse that's building up, and I also call a guy who's got a truck and also does trees.
We all know. We all know a guy.
And we all know a guy, and he'll charge like between 400 and 600 rand for a big bucky load of stuff to be taken to the dump. Mm-hmm. And our immediate thought is, "Geez, that's expensive." But I mean, he's risking his life climbing these trees. Mm-hmm. He's using up his petrol. He has wages to pay to all of these guys. He has no guaranteed income. I mean, I get a message every now and then saying, do you have anything for me to remove? So he's hustling as well. It's something worth noting.
It's one of the upsides of living in South Africa, because in the United Kingdom or somewhere that's a nanny state, to get the council to come and move your bin if somebody left it there, get out of here. Just phoning whoever it may, expect £200 leaving your pocket immediately, and a letter, and you have to schlep.
And that's just the red tape. That's not even getting it removed, right? You have to pay the council for the privilege of even thinking about getting it moved. So I think that there's always going to be, you know, pockets of the economy that are going to require people who can think on their feet, people who, you know, everything from like cleaning up. I saw a cleanup crew. They were busy tidying up along the river here. Where I live, and they were, you know, going there with those litter pickers, you know, those like sticks with a sharp end.
Mm.
And they were loading all this stuff onto buckies and trucks and, you know, bags and bags of crap that have been cleaned up. I thought, you know what? People will always be willing to pay for that sort of thing to happen. And yeah, what
I really called them the merchants. You know, he always said, in The Prince, he said, there'll always be room where there's business to be done. The merchants are always needed, you know, to do the work we don't want to do.
Well, that's the important thing, as you just highlighted it now. It's the stuff you don't want to do. So there's stuff I don't mind doing. Like I could clean my own house. I could. I probably would get so stuck in that it would be all I would achieve, and I wouldn't be a very interesting person after a couple of days of doing that. But there are other jobs that I definitely don't want to do. You know, I'm no good at kind of mowing the lawn or at washing the dishes. And if I can find, if I have enough money to be able to pay someone to do that stuff, then I would rather do that. I don't like cleaning up after I've had people around to my house. If I am having a good time the night that I have people around and I have to think about the next morning and cleaning up, it gives me instant anxiety. I don't like a mess. So I know that that's not my strength, right? So if I can pay someone to do that, then that's a win for me. That's money well spent. And even if they asked me double the money, I'd probably still do it.
I found back in the day when my earnings were a lot more than they are now, there was such a fine line between being so busy making money that you needed to pay money to other people to do things for you.
Mm.
It's interesting that now I tend to do a lot of the stuff myself.
Well,
if you can afford it, then it's a good thing. Other people who know what they're doing get it done faster and more professionally.
There's still some things that I'll not be able to delegate. Like I couldn't delegate my diary. I've never had a secretary. I've never had a personal assistant, right? And maybe there's an argument that I should have, because a lot of the decisions are kind of unnecessary for me to be making them. But I've never been able to hand over control of like scheduling appointments or worrying about little things. Like I've never had anyone to deal with my laundry, you know, my dry cleaning. I still do all of that shit myself. And maybe that's because I'm a bit of a control freak. But there are these people, I admire them enormously, these people who are able to hand over their entire world. You know, you get these like high-flying CEOs or these extremely engaged individuals, these people who are just switched on all the time. And they just hand everything over to an assistant. That assistant knows everything. They order their underwear. They schedule their haircuts. They do. They do everything. They schedule their car for services. They make sure that their payments go through every week for all the things that they're doing. I've never been able to hand over that stuff. And maybe I've got to learn to do that because it might further reduce the stress. I don't know.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is that the other half of the business that I work with does virtual, you know, assistants.
Oh, yeah?
And it's amazing what online assistants can do for you. It's unbelievable. There's absolutely no limit. These people are, it's what they do every day. So they're going to do it probably better than you.
Like, what are we talking about here?
Well, especially, I mean, obviously it's business focused, but it's small business focused.
Yeah.
So it's taking over, doing all those things that pile up in your drawer that you never get to.
Right.
Sorting out, you know, bank statements and something as small as just setting up an appointment with someone, you know, making that call and saying, right, let's meet for coffee, that you just kind of never get to. All of that's done for you.
Well, this is also where businesses, like I was talking, ironically, we were talking about like tree felling, but there are millions of businesses that are increasingly, what they're doing is they're decentralizing certain parts of what used to be a centralized sort of bureaucratic control of your own life. And I suppose outsourcing is the word. You know, people outsource all kinds of things now. They're outsourcing their mental health to a therapist. They're outsourcing their accounting to an accountant who maybe only works on a project by project basis for them. They're outsourcing a bunch of different things. And I think that's quite good because you're not going to be the best at all those things. Am I right? Like, I know if I had to climb, if I had to climb the tree with a chainsaw, there would be terrible, terrible consequences. It would be a
listen. You're not.
Mess.
You're not even good with a knife cutting an avo. You know.
No, exactly.
Know
so you know that kind of thing.
Accidents happen.
And it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. Outsourcing that stuff is good for you. If you're paying for it, it means you're playing your part in the economy. But you're also getting the people who are the real professionals to the forefront. And like I now will recommend these guys to just about anyone who ever asks. And I'm going to get them more business.
Yeah. So that's what we do in our community. If we have any good service from someone that we have, whether it's someone who, you know, redoes our swimming pool or cleans our carpets, cuts down a tree, paints numbers on a house, is a good electrician, gets the job done well as a plumber. We do is we refer them on our group and a lot of these service providers will actually give you a discount if you show them that you're putting them onto a group of 300 people.
That's new.
To recommend services.
Yeah, the most efficient human being alive probably in history, and certainly the greatest investor of all time, Warren Buffett, has a great way of putting it. He says, in every ecosystem, it doesn't matter what it is, there are finders, there are minders, and there are grinders. And everybody must be in their place for it to function. Not everybody.
What are the three different ones? Just explain who.
So how it works. I mean, it's a little brutal in the corporate sense. He's the finder, right?
What do you mean?
Warren Buffett. He finds the ideas. He finds the investment.
Oh, right.
He founded.
Okay.
You know. Then the mines is the management. You need somebody to manage the people, and then you get your grinders who got to dig the holes.
Right.
Essentially.
Okay.
Everybody is one of those things. That's how he puts it. And he says he knows he doesn't do the management stuff. He's got people for that and he's got people working, and which is why he always says his COO and his CFO keeps him at his right hand, because those are the guys he needs. They must take care of it. So finders, minders, and grinders, a really interesting psychological thing.
That's
he explains
awesome.
It a little better than I
That's
do.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So Gareth says here, you only have so many hours in a day. And learning to teach and delegate so you have more time is the number one goal. I couldn't agree more. Like that to me is just like, that's spot on. And everything just flows a lot more seamlessly. You reduce the amount of friction, you reduce the amount of stress, things become efficient. I think that's amazing. I mean, look at how much our phones, you know, I used to keep a paper diary. I used to write down things in the diary. And tech has helped me to streamline a lot of things. There's still stuff, though, that I still, look at this. I got a list here of stuff I have to do today, right? So I can't help myself. I still have to use a paper and a pen every now and then. I start to cross things out and actually tick them off as I do them. I wonder if I'll ever be able to fully delegate that stuff to someone else. It also makes me feel, which is stupid, it makes me feel lazy unless I'm actually doing the work in terms of moving shit around.
It can, yeah.
Lifting heavy things.
It can, but then if,
climbing a tree. I watch other people doing it and I'm like, I'm lazy. But then I think about the different kind of blood, sweat, and toil that has made me 5,000 Rand richer in order to give it to those guys.
Exactly. So if you spend that time rather working, there's a phrase, you don't want to work in your business. You want to work on your business.
Right.
So all those things that are about working in your business, so the accounting or if it's managing your home, get someone else to do that. And then you can work on your business. So you can sit down and write that blog that you've wanted to write for a while, things that nobody else could do. And that said, there's a service for that too. I mean, that's what one of my top jobs is, is people and companies and even personal people in their personal capacity who want to send out a blog, sending me a bunch of keywords and two sentences, and I'll flesh that out into a full-blown blog with references and SEO and all of that.
Wow.
So there, even if that's something that you don't want to do, there's someone else who can do it for you. But it's all about focusing back on the things that you love about your work. You know, if it's the actual cake decorating or if it's the actual putting in of windows, that's the stuff that you want to be doing, then delegate.
Well, Eleutheria likes the idea of a handwritten to-do list that you can physically cross things off of. I do too, because then at the end of the day, when I throw that list away and I've got everything done, I feel a huge sense of achievement. I know it sounds silly, but honestly, that is my day-to-day sanity. Is like I have these things I have to do, and it's like some of the stuff here, some of this is not complicated, right? Some of it is like a contract I have to sign. The other one is having to do grocery shopping. I mean, it's all on here, so I mix it all up, the work stuff, the personal stuff, it's all on there.
That list thing makes me so happy, is that you don't know how furious it makes me with people around me in general who think they don't have to write things down. People like, write down on your phone or a list, whatever. Yeah. I don't care. Especially in the like business we work in, and I work with other people, and like people think they'll remember. Like I'm always like, no, you won't remember. You like, please don't tell me, because it's kind of like,
remember. Hadmin says she always loses her goddamn list.
might be on purpose,
right? Correct.
That's funny. But it's like waitrons, right? Whenever I go to a restaurant, like, and people call me unpleasant. It's like, I'm not impressed that you think you can remember my order. Like that's not impressive to me. Write it down, because when it does come back. And now I've got to be that guy on the 1 out of 100 times that it's wrong. I'm not impressed that you got a good memory. Just write it down.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
No, sure. Look, some people, they do become so good at it that they don't have to. And they're not showing off to you. They just know. And they don't get it wrong.
Well, until they do get it wrong. And then I'm that guy.
I love this. Growth equals working smart, not hard. Equate everything you do to your hourly billable rate versus the cost of getting someone else to do it. There is a lot of stuff you will stop doing then. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. It's a mental gold star to complete a list. That's how I feel.
Yeah. There's a reason why when we click the rubbish bin on our computers, it makes the noise of a crumpled up paper.
Mm-hmm.
There's that satisfaction. I mean, I don't tend to crumple paper. I like to tear my list in half when I've done it. Just that action in itself brings so much satisfaction.
Yeah. No, I love it. And I'm already excited about all the things I've got to do today. I'm also excited because I think I might go back to physical gym today and try that out. They're opening up again. Mm. And, you know, there's just no excuse. Like, if they're going to open it up, then why the hell don't I go? And I could probably train at home here, but I think it's maybe a good idea to also just get out there a little bit and use proper equipment, because you don't have all the stuff at home. I mean, I don't have a full gym here. I've got some free weights, for God's sake. And I do not want to get lazy.
Good. Don't.
It's also about camaraderie and, you know, watching that other guy in the corner who's also sweating it out. I speak like I do this often. I think the gyms have opened and closed more times than I've been to gym in the last few years.
Yeah, well, don't beat yourself up. Everybody's feeling that way. All right, so here are some interesting words, and we're going to do this because the U.S. National Spelling Bee happened over the course of last week, and we've actually got a couple of these words that Leanne is going to put to us this morning. We'll see if we can figure them out. So this is the spelling bee is usually, they do it at schools, right? And then they take it up a level, and then eventually they have the national spelling bee, which is, they have different age groups, and people have to be able to spell all these words. And people make they make life-changing decisions around winning these spelling bees. You know, in America, you can specialize in spelling, and you can be the spelling bee champion, and it's quite a big deal in America.
It's on ESPN.
It's on ESPN, exactly.
Well, this is the Scripps National Spelling Bee. Mm-hmm. Bellings Bee.
Bellings
That's
Bee.
A good start.
Great. Leanne, you obviously were a
and
winner.
It was won.
Yeah.
It was won by a 14-year-old American girl, the first African-American, if I may say, to win the competition since the first time in 1925.
Jeez, okay.
So she beat 209 talented young spellers, including a 12-year-old.
Right.
And the word that she won on was Mariah.
What?
I mean, Mariah.
As in Mariah Carey?
So one would think, I mean, she was actually, she had a bit of sense of humor because she said in the beginning, does it have anything to do with a stand-up comedian, meaning Murray? And that was actually her point of doing really well, because that's how you spell it. You would spell it Murray with an A at the end. And it's got something to do with some native Australian bush or something like that.
I mean, you would not expect
a 14-year-old American kid to know about. The second one that was on there, and the reason why the girl behind her lost, was neroli oil.
Neroli oil.
I mean, something I've never heard of before. No. And they asked for the definition, which didn't help me. A fragrant pale yellow essential oil obtained from flowers, chiefly of the sour orange, and used especially in cologne and as a flavoring.
Hmm.
And from that, she's able to get, well, you know, she asks the root of the word, but just out of interest, neroli is spelled N-E-R-O-L-I.
Hmm.
And just words that I've never seen in my life before. And I consider myself, you know, quite well read. Let's look at Fidibus.
What is this?
Fidibus is a paper spool for lighting pipes.
I'm getting zero on this so far. I wouldn't have known how to spell any of this stuff, and I don't even know what any of it means. Fidible.
Fidibus.
Oh, Fidibus. Jesus. I've never heard of that in my life.
F-I-D-I-B-U-S. Okay, I'll just rattle them off because I don't know what any of these are.
Okay.
Diproter, Athanor, Halter, Fidibus, Futrals, Nepeta, neroli oil, Ratine, Mariah.
I've never
heard of these things in my life before.
I'm embarrassed to admit.
So Mariah, is a genus of tropical, Asiatic, and Australian trees.
God, Lord. I mean, like, these kids have to be working on this 24/7, right? I just want to show you a little clip from here because this is really interesting. So this is the winning moment from the Scripps National Spelling Bee Finals. So I'm not going to play you the whole thing, but take a look at this quickly. This is really cool. These are the the girls who are in the final.
By the way, she got into spelling and made it a priority just 2 years ago, which is remarkable what we're seeing from that young lady.
Incredible.
Right, so here she is. She gets up.
Okay, this one is a compound entry, and you have to spell the whole entry. The word is narrowly oil.
Narrowly oil?
Yes, it's a fragrant pale yellow essential oil that darkens on standing, is obtained from the flowers, especially of the sour orange, and that is used chiefly in cologne and other perfumes and as a flavoring material.
Narrowly oil?
Narrowly oil.
Are there any alternate pronunciations?
I see just the one.
Narrowly oil. Language of origin?
The first part of the entry consists of a French element derived from an Italian geographical name. The second part went from Greek to Latin to French to English.
Narrowly oil. N-E-R-E-L-I-O-I-L. Narrowly oil.
Narrowly oil is spelled N-E-R-O-L-I-O-I-L.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So it's not over yet, but if Zaila gets this word right, she's the champion. If she doesn't, we go to that spell.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it? I mean, I think that's really cool. Like, we should have that in this country because we also have so many different languages that people would learn really interesting pronunciations and you know, compound words and things like that. I think it could be. But there are also unique South African words that we could throw into this, but it's tough. That's really hard. That little girl was sweating balls.
And I mean, the one definition here, and Gareth, maybe you would know this: a crystalline hydrocarbon C18H18 or C18H18,
yeah,
isolated especially from pine tar, rosin oil, and various fossil resins, but usually prepared from abietic acid and related compounds by dehydrogenation, 1-methyl, 7-isopropyl, phenanthrene. And the word is retine. Does it mean anything to you?
No. R-E-T-I-N-E.
R-E-T-E-N-E.
Okay. Yeah, you see, I wouldn't have known that. I mean, listen, organic chemistry. You want to talk about complicated stuff. Like just naming organic compounds. Mbulelo, you know this because this is what you studied. Just the nomenclature of organic chemistry is a subject on its own. And they keep changing the conventions. So the way I learned to name like hydrocarbons, for example, is not the way that people name them now. They now put a number in the front, then there's a dash, then there's it's 1,2-propylene or whatever it might be. It used to just be propanol or something. And now they've changed the way that you do all of that stuff. It's pretty damn interesting. But these are obviously very particular, like, scientific words. And in the case of neroli or neroli oil, those are not things that we encounter on a daily basis. Although, I've got to say, here's something interesting, is that somebody here knew exactly what that was. Neroli oil, says Ruth, is great. Yeah. They put it in lots of ointments and things. So she would have known what that was. She would have got it. I like the spelling bees where they ask you words that you actually we use on a daily basis, you know, like words that are adjectives or verbs or things like that that are a little more useful, a little bit more, what would you say, utilitarian. I'd like that a little bit more because then maybe I'd even have a chance. But these ones, I would be screwed from the beginning. How about the word ivermectin, says Doug?
I mean, it's...
Oh, wait, that would be canceled. I better be careful. YouTube might censor me. Yeah, that's a good point. Don't mention ivermectin. You'll cancel the show.
Break the stream.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Anyway.
I like that you can actually see that this young lady has been taught how to think. So for me, the most interesting thing about people is I'm always interested in how do you think? How does your mind get to the things that you say with your mouth? I'm always interested in those types of people. And, you know, I come from a certain school of thinking. Some people do philosophy and whatever. I love how I can see her thinking about her training. You know, her training has told her she heard Latin, she heard Italian.
Yeah.
You can see that she's She's breaking it down through training. She's falling back on training. And I love people like that to see how they think. I'd love to speak to them.
Yeah. And she asked,
she's 12, you know,
she's 12 years old. I mean, there's no way I was anywhere near as bright as she is at 12. If you'd met me at 12, you'd think you'd found Stig of the Dump. You know, just like a caveman child that managed to crawl out of some rubbish bin or something. That girl asked like language of origin. As Mbulelo says, she has a process for figuring shit out. And that's important, like how you think. It's just great to see that. I love it. I love seeing people who are smarter than me doing things that I could never do. Just like when I started this hour and we were talking about the tree fellers. Same thing. People who are smarter than me and do things that I couldn't do. There's no such thing as an overall intelligence for any human being that ranks you above anyone else. You will meet people every day of your life who can do things you could never do. And those people are just, they're a blessing. God, you know, it's just incredible to me that no matter what you think you've figured out, there's always someone who will figure out something else that's a little more advanced. It doesn't matter who you are.
We just have top to of the think. Tree. We just have to think about something as humble as a haircut.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
we can't
do it ourselves, and unless you've got a simple like a Mbulelo style haircut, you can do that yourself. Gareth, yours is more barber. Complicated.
He goes to a barber.
Yeah, get a barber.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Mine, yeah. I can't reach the back, and it would probably be all skew. Something as simple as that we have to rely on other people to do, you know, because they're better at it than us.
So you've committed, speaking of Mbulelo and his haircut, he's committed to running 100 miles for the first time in 3 years. He's going to do 100 mile in one go, right?
Yeah, it's you know what?
How long is the Comrades Marathon, do you know? Is that
like 89?
Okay,
so it varies between like 81 and 89, but 89 generally. 89
so you are looking at doing more than the Comrades Marathon. What, now, this year? You want to do it this year?
Yeah, I mean, I've done plenty before. This is not. I'm not feeling sort of any trepidation in terms of the distance. I've done 100 milers before, but it's just been a while. But now is the best time because I was just talking to somebody last week about like it is tough now. But some of us are going to have to come out of this lockdown like ready to go when things are ready to fire. And I don't want to be one of the people when after some thinking, I don't want to be one of the people when lockdown ends that it's like, oh, okay, now let me emerge. It's like I want to be firing when lockdown ends, you know. So my personal process that which I can be elite at is controlling my health and my physical training and my discipline. And I've decided I know when I'm at my best in life, it's when I've got sort of 100K, 100 milers, and even bigger races that I've done to focus on.
That
focuses my whole life.
If I just think about the longest distance I've ever run, which is probably like 3 kilometers, and I compare that to you with your 100 milers, more than 100 kilometers, that is, to me, that's insane. It would require a superhuman to be able to do that by my standards of distance, you know? And yet you're not a superhuman. I think you're impressive. Don't get me wrong. But it's like in my head, the distance between 3 kilometers and 100 miles is impossible for a human to do. And here you are talking about it like, dude, if I couldn't even do a half of that after a year's training. There's no way. And it's not something I would want to do. But the fact that it is possible for one human being to do it and for another human being to think it's impossible just shows you how most of the stuff's in our head, right?
It's like Branson, right? For me, what I love about that is once you learn to focus, and I would say I only learned, I'd say from about 27, 28, and over the last three, four years, I've really started to hone it in. When you start to really be able to focus and block out outside noise, anything's possible. But what you have to be able to do is be able to focus. And I realized by my standards, what a waste the rest of my life has been because my father always used to try to tell me this focus, focus, focus. And I was just an erratic kid. But when you are able to find something and focus, it is the most fulfilling thing you could ever do in your life. But you have to focus and it's brutal. I never recommend it to anybody because you can't do it in halves. You can't kind of focus on something like this. Is if you are not fully focused, it will be brutal. You're climbing mountains. So it's also a trail run, by the way. So I don't run roads. So it's mountain running. So you have to be absolutely focused for, I mean, I've got about 2 or 3 months to go, but you must be absolutely focused or it's going to be absolute murder.
Well, good luck to you, man. That's setting goals. I love that.
You were talking about your goal is to come out of lockdown rearing and going. But do you have a date in mind for that? Because if you do, please share it with us.
Yeah, we need to know when lockdown's going to end as well.
you know what? I always say to people who are trying to diet or whatever, who always tell me what they can't eat. It's like, I never understand in life why people are focused on stuff they can't do. Just focus on what you can do. I can't control when the world lockdown is going to end. And I have no interest in that, quite honest with you. My interest is, you know what I can control is I can be uber fit all the time and set my goals. And if races get canceled and Corona happens, that's okay. I'm in great shape. I've controlled what I can. I have absolutely no interest in when the lockdown is going to end globally because there's nothing I can do about it.
This sounds so obvious, but dude, this is so great because I'm so sick of having conversations where you're powerless to offer any real value in that conversation. Well, you know, where people talking about, what can you do about the virus? How are you going to stop yourself from getting it? Or you have people talking about all the people they know who have got it. I'm like, this is not something we can control. This is not something you could do anything with. It's not useful to any of us to have these conversations. Like, I can't do anything with that. I can do things with me. And those are things that you focus on. I think that's huge. You just, again, remove so much unnecessary clutter from your life.
Clarity is peace. I'm telling you. And for me, Leanne, to also answer your question is that, you know, something that's been on my mind a lot is like, what are people going to do after all of this? You know, if all they know is to be in a shell, it's like life is still for 99% of us. And I know this is a brutal thing to hear, but you know, the stats say 1% of people are dying. 99% of us are going to have to live and flourish. And if it's going to be 3 years of people living in a shell, you know, people have been in bad habits. Like, let's use something we can all relate to, being in a bad eating habit and gaining weight. You know, we all know how difficult it is to turn that around. Now to turn your whole life around after you've been in a shell for 3 years, I don't want to be that person. And I don't want to be glib about it.
Yeah,
it may not be for you, but I've just made a personal call that, you know, Branson is a hero to me. These types of people are heroes to me. Is I can control this, and I refuse to get down in the mire just because most of everybody else is. And let that sound how it sounds, but I've made a personal call. You know, I have an obligation to my family as well to kind of be a beacon of hope. Is how I view it as well. You know,
yeah, responsibility.
So it's not just about me. And
all right, well, we can.
I think that Subs in the comments has it right.
What's that? What does Subs say? Oh, here we go. I want to come out of lockdown being the best Simba Chippy I can be. There we go. That makes a lot of sense.
That's a throwback to the 90s. That's a good one.
Ooh, yeah. Hugely.
Let me show you a video while we're talking about all this craziness that's going on around us, because we do like to pay attention to the news just to make sure that we're not completely out of it. This is a video of a Checkers in Maritzburg this morning where protesters have become extremely violent and they've set this place on fire. I'll just try and describe it while we're watching it, but here's the video. Take a look at this. This is an actual Checkers hyper in Maritzburg. Huge smoke.
Why?
Billowing smoke, huge amounts of fire. The whole place is burning. It's a fucking disaster, right? And then people are just standing on the side of the highway kind of watching it. Isn't that amazing? Look at that.
Did you hear the commentary in the background?
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they're disgusting human beings. She's bloody right, too.
She is right. I mean, we know that that may come from the wrong place, but her diagnosis is spot on.
So is that now?
That's right now. You know,
I
wonder about like Jacob Zuma sitting there in, and by the way, I wasn't laughing at the Checkers or any of the stuff that's going on there. I think that that is appalling and people should be arrested. People must go to jail. That is arson. There's a nice category of crime that we've just witnessed there, and those people should be punished. There's plenty of law to punish them already. We don't need to create any new ones. I wonder about Jacob Zuma sitting in prison, right? Or in jail, as it is now. He's in escort jail. And I wonder about him sitting there. Do you think he's laughing to himself like, yeah, those are my people. They're out there supporting me. Good for them.
Yes. Yes, I do.
You do. You sent me a clip.
An egomaniac.
You sent me a clip of Dudu Zanizuma over the weekend, Leanne. And he was busy playing that the world's tiniest violin for his father. He's like, you know, he's not doing this for himself. He's doing this for every other person who's achieved something in their life, come from nothing. You know, that old story of like someone who's made something out of nothing. Jacob Zuma is meant to be this hero to poor people everywhere because he's managed to do stuff that no one else has done. He rose to the top as president. You know, he's opened up avenues of opportunity for people. That's what Dudu Zanizuma was saying in that clip. And I wonder how
he was. Yeah.
Like, I understand that this is his dad, right? So we're all going to see our dads slightly differently than we'll see a complete stranger. But there's no objective rating of his father's performance in all of that. There's none. And I'm wondering whether he's self-deceiving, where he's a self-conscious fraud, that he's aware of the fact that what he's saying is just not true. But he's saying it because he realizes there's ammo in it for him. Or whether he actually really truly believes that.
You know what the biggest thing he was ripped off about on that whole clip, and what most of the comments were, and also being TikTok, you do these split views or duos where a commentator will put the one, you know, him on the one side. And what most people were angry about, those who commented, was about his accent.
Oh, really?
And how with this posh accent was he going to be able to hold a shield and a Zulu spear?
So he must talk like this, otherwise he's not going to be taken seriously. I mean, do me a favor.
That's exactly what these people were saying. They were saying, how can you even be a strong Zulu man if you speak like that?
What a lot of nonsense.
I thought it was very entertaining. No.
It's great. A friend of mine says she doesn't like it when I come to a house with her parents. She says, the problem with you is you sound whiter than I do at my own family lunches.
That whole attitude comes from such a dangerous place. Like that whole thing of, oh, by the way, just going to throw this in here. I don't want to forget. If you were coming for Collectomania this morning, don't worry. We haven't forgotten about Collectomania. We're not in dereliction of duty here. We had a cancellation last night at the last minute, and there was just really nothing we could do. We didn't want to put together a rubbishy Collectomania for you this morning, you know, sort of cobbling something together because we've got some really cool people lined up. And we will make it up to you. We will fill the gap in your life that Collectomania has opened up this morning. And that's coming, I promise. So stick around. It'll happen either this week or early next week in the same time slot. So hang around for Collectomania, just to let you know. But this whole idea of like some people sound white or sound, it just comes from such a dark place, man. You know, if you think in your head that all white people have to sound a certain way and all black people have to sound a certain way, you're just a prime target for like pure racism. You're sitting there waiting with open arms to be embraced as a racist to either the extremes on one side or the other, because you think everybody should sound a certain way. It's just unreal to me. Like, I don't even sound like my brother. And we're in the same family.
I want to try and give you a little bit of a lens from the sort of black side that I've experienced.
Sure.
Just so you know. I remember the latest in a whole concatenation of it having happened in my life was I was sitting at a restaurant in Stellenbosch, ordered a coffee, kind of chatting to the guys, and we were just in there. And the guy came up to me and he said, "Yes, man, I wish I sounded like you." So I said, I asked him, "Why? What do you mean, bro?" And he said, "Oh, no, you sound intelligent." So then I said, "Oh, no, I don't really understand what you mean. Is it because I can speak English or like, what do you mean?" Because I knew what was happening. I knew what we were getting at. I just wanted to kind of get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
And there's an association between, in a crass sense, is the closer you get to whiteness, it's seen as intelligence in certain parts. Just so people know, I'm not saying it's true.
I know.
I'm just telling you.
I know what you mean.
After, because I engage with it, you know. That type of thing. Whenever people say it to me, because I've always said English is a language, it's not a sign of intelligence.
No,
but
exactly.
Anyway,
And also, yeah, being told you sound intelligent isn't being told you're intelligent. You know what I mean?
And it's also a lie when it comes to me. So, out of integrity, I've also got to address that.
Sure.
No. Yeah, so that's just the lens coming from what I've experienced, and obviously me being a Duduzani kind of figure my whole life. I've experienced it quite a lot, and I'm starting to understand it more and more as I get older, what's actually happening in that. Because there's also sort of a power dynamic, right, I think he, in his mind, I didn't take it this far, you sound like me, you can get to hang out with the white people in the suburbs, is kind of what it's really leading to through conversations I've had. So yeah, it's super loaded if you give yourself the latitude to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hugely.
Well, I mean, Daniel says you're talking shit, Mbulelo. He says it's the fact that you can articulate yourself so well. You sound smart because you can convey a message effectively. I think that's a compliment. I mean, being able to use language, whatever language it is. I mean, you can be, supremely articulate Zulu or Xhosa or Venda or Afrikaans or Spanish speaker. And in that language, you will come across a whole lot better. I mean, I sound like a bumbling idiot in anything but English, right? So I understand what he's saying there, Daniel. But being able to use whatever language it is effectively means communicating in a way that people understand what you mean. That's the only reason we have language, is so that we can explain ourselves to each other coherently. And the less words you can use, sometimes the better. And occasionally, if you're being creative, the more words you can use, the better. But it's all about how you can explain something to someone else in the end. And that's not a sign of intelligence necessarily, but it does help. It does help. Someone said here, if Jacob Zuma was a real leader, he would tell the rioters to stop causing. Well, he can't. He's got no way to communicate. He's inside of jail. And we've despite the world that we think we exist in, where everyone has a phone, and he may have a phone, but he's not going to be tweeting from inside a prison saying, hey, guys, stop causing trouble. He wants to see this, I think. I think he likes to see this. It makes him feel powerful.
He's an egomaniac. It's as simple as that. Well, we have to be able to say it. He's a raging egomaniac, and nothing about him has suggested differently from what I've seen. He's the man's a menace.
Look, I don't know. Look out for this kind of thing, especially if you're in KZN today. We're thinking of you if you work in logistics, if you're somebody who's trying to go to work today, trying to open your shop, trying to get things done, trying to put food on the table for your family. Jesus, as if you haven't had a hard enough time with lockdowns. Now you have to deal with people who are wantonly coming to destroy and break your shit down. And, you know, this is where I know people go, oh, but, you know, some of these businesses have insurance. But that's not the point. Why should we have people behaving like this? It's unnecessary. It's uncalled for. And anybody who stands up for rioters or for looters, anybody who defends those people and their actions, those are not the kind of people we want in society either. So if you're going to be one of those patronizing people who goes, but this is how poor people and angry people demonstrate their anger. No, it's not. There are better ways to do that. And what you're really doing is you're saying there are two standards. There are standards for me and there are standards for poor people, whoever those people are, or angry people. We know what you're doing. You're giving code to people you think are less than you. And to me, that is real patronizing superiority complex, and not the good kind, because you can get people who, you know, they're able to make the world a better place by pulling the rest of us up. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about you're creating two different standards. You're saying that someone who's throwing bricks through a window and looting a shop, that person doesn't know how to be better? Well, how do you know? How do you know? Maybe they've actually just chosen to be a destructive criminal. And that kind of ruins your argument if you're one of those people who says, oh, no, but this is how poor people express themselves. How do you know? Who gave you an insight into some dude in Pietermaritzburg who's using this opportunity to steal himself a TV? How do you know what he's thinking and what's going on in his head? Who gave you a mind meld with the world's poor? and gave you a mandate from them to understand the way that they're behaving this morning. Who the hell are you? Know what I mean? Sounding a certain way should not be judged in any way, according to Zach Lesupi. He says, but Duduzan and his video on Instagram trying to speak Setswana and dismally failing even basic greetings was very embarrassing. Okay, well, I didn't see that part of it. What do you think of Dudu Zuma inciting violence on Twitter over the weekend while sitting in the comfort of her own home? Now, we're talking about Duduzile Zuma, I think. In this case, I didn't see it. So I didn't see her her video. The correct word is immature. A two-year-old will break toys in anger. This is a good point. But they grow out of it with the correct life guidance.
It's an important point, is that especially in the sort of age of emancipation that we kind of live in, whether true or not, is mm-hmm. that, and we all know this moment in our lives, is, yeah. sorry, unfortunately, you don't get to say, just because you're angry, everybody's entitled to be angry.
Sure.
What you're not entitled to be is be right. And we often conflate those two to say, you know, it's called righteous indignation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is just because you're mm-hmm. angry. Please don't associate that with being correct. I don't care how emotional yeah. you are. And of course, the economic conversation can make it sensitive, but I'd like to hope that morality is across the board. And I come from a working class family. I have yeah. incredibly moral people in my family yes. who have nothing. So morality has nothing to do with being poor. Being angry and being right is not the same thing. And one doesn't correlate to the other and doesn't give you the right just because you're angry to think you're right. It's an incredibly important
point. Well, on that note, if you are in KZN and if you are in one of these businesses that is vulnerable like this, we're thinking of you today, and make sure that you keep yourself safe. And if you could possibly stay away from any trouble, I mean, you don't know when it's going to flare up. You don't know where it's going to come from. But if you can stay away from it at any stage, then please do. And we will be here tomorrow morning to talk you through the next 24 hours of your day. And hopefully we'll have some other really good and interesting and positive stuff to discuss. If you missed Dr. Hanan this morning, he was terrific with Mark Sham. Mark just articulating what I think a lot of people are feeling too. And you can get all of this on cliffcentral.com. We cut it up into nice bite-sized chunks for you. So if you just want to hear Dr. Hanan, you can do that. You don't have to listen to all the other stuff. If you want to hear any of the other stuff, though, it's all there. It's all on cliffcentral.com. Today, of course, Auto Central on the way to you too, and plenty more. You can get hold of us with a quick email to gareth@cliffcentral.com. And by the way, if you have a collection and you want to be on Collectomania, then let us know about that too. All right. Have a
and
happy
if you
day.
Do wanna, Gareth, before you, mm-hmm. you lead us out, of course, Euros and UFC, mm-hmm. if you want to catch up with us at 12 o'clock live on Cliff Central Sport.
Yeah.
Please make sure to join us. I'd love to hear what people's opinions are about the weekend, what they're thinking in that world. So if you're a sports fan, subscribe, cliffcentral.com or Cliff Central Sport. Otherwise, the MKT yeah. Show podcast. And guys, I'm an influencer as well.
Yeah.
So
do it.
Yeah. Like, share, subscribe. And we're a community, guys. So let's grow together. And everything I do, it's actually, it's not about me and me getting all the money. It's about you guys as well.
Yeah.
So Cliff Central Sport, it's everything you need all the time, guys. You're my faves. They always have an annoying one. Like, thanks, sweeties. Thanks, my lovies.
All right. On that note, we'll say goodbye. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have an excellent Monday and behave yourself. Don't go looting and rioting. If you're angry, I don't know. Write a letter to the editor or something. All right? Cheers. Cliffcentral.com.